Hey friends, here we are again on Heart Refined with James for You. This is episode 27. We are in chapter 7, week 7 of this series, and we're coming around the corner to wrap up this 10-week series. It's been fantastic, and what we're looking at today, we come off of reading verses 2 and 3 in chapter 4 of the book of James. I know. It still can be confusing. We're in chapter 7 of the book James for You. In the Bible, we're in chapter 4 of James. But the verses 2 and 3 says, "You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and don't receive because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your pleasures." And how this ties into yesterday is we're talking about having quiet, spirited observation. Where we can see that people may be living in sin, but living in that quiet spirit also gives us an alley of understanding about ourselves. We're able to see where we're also living in sin. But James is pointing out here that because we're living in prayerlessness, because we're asking with the wrong motives, and I was talking about that on day one with my own agenda in mind, praying so that Rachel can be comfortable and not just that God could be glorified and someone else could grow in him. And so he's saying here that when we do this, that we're not going to get anything because we're asking with the wrong motive. So, again, we're going back to that point of prayerlessness. Now, last week, we were talking about wearing t-shirts or posting memes that send messages like, "I believe in Jesus, but I don't follow him." "The love of Jesus is not enough to change me," or "the joy of the Lord is not my strength." And, you know, I sort of soapbox about some of these things because we'll very clearly put things across our chest or on our Facebook post or our Facebook banner that more or less say, yeah, I follow Jesus or I love Jesus, but I don't follow him and that sort of thing. So if we look, though, at living without prayer as a Christian, it's sending the same message, but this time we're sending it to God. We're saying things like, "I believe in you, Jesus, but I don't need you. Jesus, your love is not powerful enough to change me." Or what about, "Jesus, I don't need your joy or your strength." You know, in verse 3, James is also telling us that when we pray, we need to be willing to let God do things on his terms for his pleasure. This goes back to my example of me praying over these people in my life based on my comforts and my pleasures. When we hear it out loud, it makes sense. But in the moment, we're usually convinced that we're praying for the right reason. It's important that we ask God to create create a clean heart, to renew a right spirit in us, to show us if there's any wicked way in us. This leads to verse 4. Where James gives a straightforward picture of what wickedness looks like. He says, "You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? So whoever wants to be the friend of the world becomes the enemy of God." This goes back to the shirts that we wear, the banners that we wear or that we have on Facebook. This goes back to our prayerlessness. We recognize something here that we're not just living out our comfortable life or being our best us in that moment. And it's not as simple as that. It is very sinful. And James is not beating around the bush. And I think it's a super blessing that he has given us in the scripture. The straightforward language helps us understand and accept how pride and prayerlessness will separate you from God's plan and pleasure. Now, let's be very clear here again. That in Romans 8, it says that nothing, absolutely nothing, can separate us from the love of God. However, do we realize that making the choice to remain in prideful prayerlessness or prayerless disobedience, rather, will separate us from the blessings and protections of God? Think about that, okay? So think about the prodigal father with arms wide open. And this is not only for when the prodigal son returns, it's when the prodigal son leaves. So this is the posture of the prodigal father always. Now, what the problem is when the prodigal son moves outside of those arms that always remain open, the love never ends, but you can only be protected so far outside of that reach. when you put yourself in harm's way, because you've left the arms of the Father, then you're going to experience harm. And this is the beauty of our God. In His mercy, He allows us to experience the consequence of our rebellion so that we'll come back. It's not just to put a hard rule around us, and there's not lightning bolts flying through the air to try to catch us because we're being disobedient. No. He wants you to experience the consequence of disobedience because He wants you back. He loves you that much. He wants you in His presence so that He can lavish you with His love. Listen, no, it's not all about you. It's about His glory. But do you realize? Do you comprehend how much He does love you even though it's not about you? That's what makes it even more glorious. And so what we have to realize is that if we are living outside of that, it's very plain and simple. We're living as adulterous people and we're living in hostility towards God. Again, that is something I don't like, the taste of that on my tongue. And I want to make sure that I'm doing everything I can to stay inside that relationship and that protection of God. Who are we to think that we can provide a stronger protection than that of God Almighty? Man, what arrogance. There's that pridefulness coming back out. So think about it. If your children disobey you, your love doesn't stop for them, but their free time and their privileges do. And if your children disobey you in such a way that they move outside of your protections, they will be harmed. And so if you put it in that same perspective, you're going to be able to see that you, sweet child, are being disciplined for a purpose that is greater than just God proving that He is God. His love for you is great. So, okay, let's move on and let's read verses 5 through 10. It says, "Or do you think it's without reason that the scripture says, 'The spirit He made to dwell in us envies intensely, but He gives greater grace.' Therefore, He says, 'God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be miserable and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord and He will exalt you." Now, y'all, to be honest, this is a part I get giggly about. So let's start in verse 5. "The spirit He made to dwell in us envies intensely." So I can't stop talking about lately, and I've already this week brought up the book Gentle and Lowly by Dane Ortlund. But it's because of that book that the Lord has revealed to me. And mind you, yes, this is a book written by a man. They also uses a ton of scripture, and it's taken me back into the Word in new places that I've not really been in or not really studied heavily. And so this is what's brought my heart around. But I'm blown away by the fact that Jesus didn't just die for me, but when He rose again and ascended to sit at the right hand of the Father, He went to work in prayer for me. And He actively advocates on my sinful behalf, my prideful, wretched behalf. And what He's doing is working to move me out of sin. Y'all, He weeps with me. He is the lover of my soul, and He is my best friend. I mean, can you stop and say that? There was something earlier today, I'm going through several things in my world, as everybody is. Everybody's going through something always. But I'm going through something right now where I just had to stop and think about the magnitude of God. And I was thinking that right there, the lover of my soul and my best friend, Jesus, He is my best friend. Do you realize that that's where you are in relationship to Him? And if you're not using Him as such, then wow, I feel bad for you. I feel really bad for you because what a great relationship it is. And again, we sort of rebel from the protection of the Father. We also rebel from the friendship of the Son. So anyways, I squirrel a bit there, but I want you to think about that. So anyways, we move from that, the Father, the Son. So wouldn't it stand to reason that in the perfect jealousy of Jesus, He sends His spirit to hold my hand and to fashion my heart after the Father's heart. That's what those words say, where we go back. It says, the Spirit He made to dwell in us envies intensely. He's perfectly jealous for my soul. And so He is fighting to bring me into the presence of God to make my heart look like His. Okay. So, boy, I could just go and go and go, but we're coming to an end of today. So I need to go ahead and wrap that up. But if you look at verse 6 in there, it says, He gives greater grace. Therefore, He says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. This is saying, you are adulterous. You are, by nature, an enemy of God, but His grace is greater than that. And it's allowing you to come to the end of your prideful self, so that you find Him, and in that you become humble. And then you allow Him to pour out more and more grace on you. That is the love of our Father. In our sin, we could not be presented to a pure and holy God, but in His gracious, perfect jealousy, He has offered the sacrifice of His Son to purify and complete us. And that goes back to James 1, that we persevere so that we might be whole and complete, not lacking anything. It is His desire to make you pure and holy so that He might present you before Himself. Okay. That's exciting. All right. I'm going to hush up, and then we're going to come into tomorrow, which is our last day of this week, and wrap this beautiful thought up here on A Heart Refined.